It's been a weekend when many questions about cash have been asked about the biggest property deal ever in Northern Ireland. The £1 billion-plus transaction involved the sale of a portfolio of bad property loans by NAMA. That's the Republic's so-called bad bank, which was set up during the financial crisis down south. But it's the discovery of £7 million in an Isle of Man bank account and claims of a multi-million pound payment intended for so-called fixers or facilitators that has led to some concerns. With calls for investigations and inquiries, this one isn't going to go away anytime soon. So let's get the latest from our business correspondent, Julian O'Neill, who's here. Morning, Julian.
Morning, Chris.
So, Julian, this is complicated enough. Let's go through all of the background, first of all. This £7 million was discovered by the Belfast Solicitors Tunes in an account that was controlled by one of its former partners, a man called Ian Coulter.
That's right. Tunes were contracted to do some work on the Cerberus bid, which resulted in a successful sale through another New York law firm. Now, what happened was that a proportion of the money the New York law firm received was put into Ian Coulter's account, we believe, in the Isle of Man. This figure was some £7.5 million. And Tunes' other directors did not know about this. They say the money was diverted there by Mr. Coulter. And the purpose of this money, we are led to believe, was not only to cover Tunes' fees, but also for payments to deal influencers, fixers, a small number of people, Chris, who helped progress and deliver the deal. Now, what's suggested is that the balloon went up within Tunes over the fact that perhaps as much as £6 million was to go not to the firm, but to other people.
And that is a significant sum. And we also know now that Ian Coulter was involved in an approach about this portfolio to a company other than Cerberus. And it was an approach apparently made with another man who had direct links to NAMA, which of course was selling the property loans.
That's right. I mean, Cerberus, as I said, Chris, won the bid process. But earlier, Mr. Coulter had been involved in an unsolicited approach to another US investment firm who had been interested, called PIMCO, to try and set up a sale. Now, this approach also included Frank Cushnahan, who was a government appointee to the NAMA Northern Ireland Advisory Committee between 2010 and November 2013. Now, the PIMCO bid stopped because of the discovery of the proposed fee arrangements between Tunes and Mr. Cushnahan. NAMA said while Mr. Cushnahan never had access to any confidential information, the NAMA board determined this arrangement could undermine the integrity of the sale. It must be said that Mr. Cushnahan, through his lawyers, said he is satisfied that at all times he complied with his fiduciary and statutory responsibilities and obligations as a member of NAMA's Northern Ireland Committee.
And it does seem clear that this PIMCO bid was certainly advanced to some degree. I mean, we have a statement which is published in the Irish News this morning from the First Minister, Peter Robinson. No suggestion of any wrongdoing, but he said that he does routinely, on request, DUP ministers meet with potential investors, that that's part of the job, and that the First Minister was pleased to meet and greet PIMCO representatives, welcome them to Northern Ireland, and outline how Northern Ireland has changed and is an attractive place to do business. Of course, we should also say that in a previous statement, Mr. Robinson said that he unequivocally and without reservation could say that he had not received, nor was he ever to receive, any proceeds from Cerberus, Tunes or anyone else in relation to the NAMA sale. But it does show that there was an advance with that PIMCO operation. And you mentioned somebody else there, this man Frank Cushnahan. What do we actually know about him? Because he's not a household name, but he is very well known within political and business circles.
Frank Cushnahan, Chris, is a member of the Northern Ireland power elite. You could say he could lay claim to being its honorary president. He's now age 70 plus, I believe, and his roll call of board and public appointments spread over a lifetime. Probably the most high profile position is as chairman of Belfast Harbour Commission. He is a man who is supremely well connected in the business and political worlds, a former director even at the office of First and Deputy First Minister. He does, as you say, do not seek or like any publicity. He latterly worked out of an office in Tunes and had been working closely with Ian Coulter for years. Possibly, Chris, the only other time his name has appeared in the papers, certainly recently, was when he was chairman of the maintenance firm Red Sky.
Now, there has been an absolute flurry of statements over the last few days and even within the last 24 hours from the likes of NAMA, Cerberus and Tunes. What have we learnt from them?
Well, Chris, there has been an absolute flurry of press statements since Mick Wallace's allegations in the Doyle on Thursday. as many as 6 or 7 parties are involved in this story, and each and every one of them, with the exception of Mr. Coulter, have been using press statements to try and beat out the flames of this story, which centres around the bank account. There were two key statements, I believe, over the weekend. The first was Nama saying, whatever went on in Tunes went on in Tunes. This process was a clean process. It was a process which resulted in Cerberus winning the portfolio, and the best deal possible was done for the Irish taxpayer. So they're saying, don't confuse what happened in Tunes about this Isle of Man bank account with the bid process, which they say was entirely legitimate. Last night, Cerberus, the American investment firm which won the portfolio, issued another statement, and the significant line in that statement, Chris, is that Cerberus were saying that although they used the same lawyers in New York as PIMCO had used, they were unaware as to why the PIMCO bid was blocked or why PIMCO withdrew because of the fee arrangements between Tunes and Mr. Cushnahan.
And that could lead to more questions. Are there potentially questions here for the police? Are there potentially questions for the politicians in Stormont? Or indeed, could somebody in the Dáil get involved down south?
If you're asking me to speculate on this, it may be that we get more information out of Dublin through their parliamentary political inquiries on this than we do in the north. And I say that because Stormont has gone into recess. I know the Finance Committee wants to hold emergency sessions. I don't know whether that's going to be possible. They were due anyway, Chris, to hear from Cerberus about how it's handled the Northern Ireland loan portfolio in September in a private session, even before this story blew up. So I think questions will want to be asked by politicians in the north. When will that happen? How effective will those be? And we have to be mindful as well that there is an investigation currently taking place among the solicitors' watchdog, the Law Society.
OK, Gillian, thanks very much. Let's pick up that point about the Finance Committee, because on the line is the chair of the Assembly Finance Committee, Dathi Mackay. Dathi, are you still planning to have an emergency meeting? And if so, when will it take place?
Well, we're finalising members' availability, Chris, to have a meeting on either Tuesday or Wednesday of this week, and I will certainly be proposing that we have a number of emergency sessions with a number of the parties concerned, because for the amount of questions about this case that get answered, you're then presented with a whole new set of questions. So I think rather than have this situation where statements come from one party and the other, I think it will be of benefit to the public, first and foremost, that NAMA officials, that officials from Cerberus, from Tunes, and the other parties concerned appear before the committee and answer some quite succinct questions in regard to this Isle of Man bank account, and answer the question, who were the fixers and who were the influencers that were to receive the £6 million plus that Julian referred to?
This started with a question about politicians in the Dáil, and this question about it being earmarked for an unnamed Northern Ireland politician. It seems to have moved away from that at this stage. Who in particular do you want to call? Do you want to call, for example, Ian Coulter? Do you, for example, want to call Frank Cushnahan?
Absolutely. I think it's quite clear that they are central to this whole case. I mean, this was the biggest ever property deal in the north, and there are big questions in terms of the south as well, in terms of the value for money aspect of this deal as well. So there will be interest in this across the island. All of the people you mentioned, I believe, should come before the committee, because at the end of the day, there are a number of parties concerned. We don't know the full detail, but everybody should be given the opportunity to clear their name, and if they have nothing to hide, then there shouldn't be a problem with them appearing before the committee.
Just to be clear on this, obviously there's a suggestion that this money was for fixers and facilitators, or certainly £6 million of it. If it was for fixers and facilitators, would that in itself be illegal? Would that be wrong? Would that be a police matter or not?
It depends on what the fixers and influencers did. And we have to be very conscious in terms of any process the committee undertakes about any possible cases undertaken by the police. And, of course, as has already been referred to, the inquiries being undertaken.
But the idea of somebody fixing for you or trying to arrange a deal for you, I mean, that's business practice in some places, isn't it?
Well, the allegation, and I don't know if it has been dismissed outright as yet, that a politician was involved in this. I think we need to clear that first and foremost. We need to ask those who were involved in the setting up of this payment through the Edelman account, were there any politicians involved, and how much were they to get, and for what was that payment for? So we just need to clarify that point. I don't believe it has been fully clarified, but I believe before we can judge whether this is legal or illegal, then we need to know exactly what was done and what the payment was for. We do not know that yet.
And there's lots to clarify, let's be honest about this. There's lots that we simply do not know. I mentioned earlier on that there is a statement from Peter Robinson today. No suggestion, as I say again, of any wrongdoing, but he did meet PIMCO. Do you plan to speak to him as part of this inquiry?
Well, that will be a decision for the committee.
Would you like to?
Well, certainly we would like to ensure as a priority that we meet with the 4 to 5 witnesses in terms of Nana, in terms of Cerberus, in terms of Tuyans, and Mr. Coulter and Mr. Cushman. I think they need to be a priority. I would like to examine what Mr. Robinson has said, and certainly if committee members feel that there are more questions to ask of Mr. Robinson or any other politician, then certainly we will not hesitate in inviting anybody to appear before the committee to clarify these issues for the interests of the public. And for the interests of good governance.
Just finally, there will be lots of people out there who will have been totally baffled and confused by this story. They will find it complicated. They will find that people just don't really understand the complex nature of this property deal and what was right and what was wrong and what potentially is questions about and what is perfectly just fair business. How serious do you think this matter is, and how serious could it potentially be?
Well, I think it's hugely serious, and I think there is a risk in this situation, as in others, that those who may have broken the law or who have acted in a corrupt fashion may get away in the smoke. So that's why I believe that we need to move with haste. We need to ensure that those parties are brought before the committee, are held to account and asked the appropriate questions. But the fact of the matter is that this payment and the Isle of Man account, it is a significant amount of money. So the question that I keep coming back to is, why would somebody or why would a set of influencers be paid over £6 million for a set of actions or for influencing people? So I believe that is a disproportionate payment to a set of fixers and influencers. And that is what we need to focus on in the days ahead.
In that case, are you surprised that the police aren't involved yet?
I am surprised that the police are not involved. We are, of course, aware that the Law Society has been looking into this. We have not heard any detail on what the Law Society has found or not found. But I would urge the Law Society to act swiftly on this matter. From what I'm aware, the issue has been with them for some period of time, and there's a huge public expectation that we need to see answers to the questions that are out there in the public arena, and we need to see answers fast.
So in your view, they should have contacted the police by now?
Well, to be honest, Chris, I'm not across the detail of what the Law Society has, but I do believe that they need to be starting to reach some conclusions in regard to the information that they have in front of them, because the information they have in front of them is not something that the rest of us have been privy to as yet. So it is important that they start to come to some conclusion or give some indication in which direction they are going with their own queries in the interest of the public.
OK, well, the Law Society, of course, did release a statement last week, but it didn't give very much light. In fact, it largely tried to say that it wasn't going to give any more details. But what we'll do is we'll get in contact with the Law Society and do our best to see if they are pushing ahead with that. Dahi Mackay, thank you very much. And thank you also to Julian O'Neill, our business correspondent.